welcome to the Astra Economic Week in Review. My name is John Eckstein. I'm the Chief Investment Officer of Astra Investment Management. I'm joined today by my friend and colleague, Nick Porter. Nick, hello.
Hey, John.
Let's start with the Fed. The market was surprised by the Fed's a little bit more hawkish statement than they were anticipating. What's your take on the Fed? What do you think was new that came out this week?
The Fed and Chair Powell's comments after the meeting, it was a bit like the Mirror of Errors did, which people can see what they want to see in it. And I think what the market largely took away was that it was a hawkish surprise. The Fed publishes what's known as a dot plot, which is expectations from FOMC participants for the path of rates over the next few years. And so sort of the big surprise was this estimate of two rate hikes in 2023, which hadn't been there previously. Chair Powell certainly talked around it in the press comments afterwards. As he notes, it's not really an expectation of policy. Certainly the members of the committee rotate in and out. And there's expectations that more dovish committee members will be present during the 2023 meetings. But the market did see this as a signal that the Fed was a little bit more worried about inflation than they had been letting on. In general, I differ from that. I don't think that the Fed is all that worried. I think 50 bips of rate hikes in the Fed funds rate is probably pretty reasonable by 2023 if you see some sort of policy normalization. And again, in the near term, what we're really looking at is the path of tapering of asset purchases. And the Fed hasn't really played their hand yet. They're still talking about tapering.
Yeah, so I think that's sort of substantially correct. The Fed remains highly accommodative in two ways. They're still buying $120 billion worth of treasuries and mortgage backs and agencies every month. And Fed funds are quite low. The order of operations will be to slow down the buying and stop buying, and then at some point raise rates after that. And the dot plots, to be clear, are, as I understand them, they are the committee members' expectations of where funds should be to meet the target. It's implicitly saying we expect inflation to be a little bit higher, so we're going to have to raise rates. It's basically where they think things are going to go based on their view of the economy and how it's going to pan out. I do think there was a couple of things that were interesting in the press conference, and I don't think that Powell has much of a different view of the economy than the consensus view. One thing that they point out is that they say, if we see the path of inflation or longer-term inflation expectations, we're moving materially and persistently beyond levels consistent with their 2% inflation. They're prepared to adjust the stance of monetary policy. That's not super new, but I think the longer-term inflation expectations is worth talking about. And he pointed that out in some of his questions as well, where he said explicitly he's happy to have inflation expectations longer-term back around levels that they were in 2018, 2019, and that around 2%. And there, the Powell still has half an eye on deflation. He said that basically explicitly. He warned about the Bank of Japan and the ECB's experience. I don't think that they have an itchy trigger finger, and we're going to find out more in the next few months about when they're going to talk about tapering. And I wouldn't be surprised to see something come, some news on that front end of the summer. Powell also expects the unemployment rate to drop dramatically over the summer he said he expects payrolls to rise dramatically between July and September. So that's how I see it.
Yeah, I mean, I think their take on the labor market seems quite optimistic. I don't think unreasonably so, but they're forecasting that U.S. unemployment will drop to about 4.5% by the end of the year. And I guess I see that's possible, but it seems a bit at odds with how patient they've been talking about being.
He did say, like, the main message I'll take away from the SEP, that's the dot plot, is that the participants more comfortable with the economic conditions and the economy in the committee's forward guidance will be met sooner than previously anticipated. And so I think patient means patient to getting back to where they want the economy to be, not patient in an absolute sense. And I do kind of wish that they would talk more about things in terms of a conditional forecast, like, well, when the unemployment rate, maybe you can't have strict numbers in there, but we're looking at the labor market, went to labor market back to normal, then we're going to start taking our foot off the accelerator.
I think by and large, they've done a very good job of walking this tightrope of, we've had some very hot inflation prints, but they're transitory. And by and large, the market has bought into that argument. So if you look at surveys of fund managers, 70% say that they think inflation is going to be transitory as well. Inflation expectations are still quite well anchored. And we've seen inflation break-evens drop quite precipitously over the last month. So people are sort of buying into what they're saying and what they're projecting.
Yeah, I think we are going to see in the next 3 or 4 months, or at least until they come to a sort of consensus on when they're going to either taper or a plan for tapering, something like that. You're going to see a lot of the regional governors, the regional bank presidents throwing in what my dad used to call tape bombs. Like, so you get the comes of the tape, somebody saying, Kaplan saying that $120 billion a month in asset purchases might be having unintended consequences, right? Worried about real estate prices being too high. So a lot of that stuff is going to come in until they fumble their way to the next stage in this monetary policy evolution. So I think we should be aware of that going forward.
Yeah, and I expect them to really walk it in and be quite deliberate with some of the regional president's speeches about the path of tapering and when they're going to start. I don't think it's going to really be a surprise to anyone when it actually does happen.
No, the surprise will be the announcement of when they're going to make the announcement, right? That's when the shift will happen. There's a conference in August, Fed conference at Jackson Hole. There's often been a shift in policy announced there. I could imagine that seemed a little early to me.
I never got to go to the Jackson Hole conference when I was at the Fed. I'm still a little bit bitter about that. Of course, there was no reason for me to go, but it seems like a nice conference.
It seems like a nice conference. So it's in the summer. It's pretty in the summer. Like, I'd rather go in the winter. My summary of the economy has not changed that much. We're an economy that is still in a rebuilding phase, not a boom phase, but all the progress seems to be going in the right direction, maybe not as quickly as we had hoped and probably constrained by some supply problems. But in general, things are going pretty good. You agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I would just add that I think we're starting to see some easing of supply constraints in markets like lumber. It's definitely worth watching more closely.
Yeah, lumber was an odd one and a super interesting market to pay attention to. And it is definitely clearing up a little bit. Today, I know you wanted to jump into retail sales. What's your take on the retail sales numbers?
They were down. The controls group was down 0.7% month over month. Excluding auto sales, it was down 0.7% month over month.
So retail control is the retail sales less basically auto sales and gas and auto-related stuff like that.
And in general, the numbers, no matter how you strip them, were a bit weaker than consensus, which saw things either breaking even or declining a little bit or even increasing a little bit. So I guess the question to you is what to make of that. Are we seeing some of the impacts of the stimulus rolling off? This is sort of a one-time aberration. Retail sales tend to be quite noisy. And does this speak to a little bit of a cooling in the post-stimulus pandemic boom that we've been seeing?
So I guess no. I know that the headline, everyone wants to look at the month-on-month number, and I don't see it as a cooling number. So this is a May number, let's remember. But if we look at the level of retail sales, they're still way, way, way above trend, right? So like trend, the level of retail sales, trend, extend the trend from like 2009 to the end of 2019, maybe that would be $550 billion. We're at $620 billion last month, and that's down from $625 billion the month before, but still extremely high. And it's going to have to come back at some point towards the trend number just because of demographics and how much money people have. But, you know, so I do not see this as a concerning number. When you dig into it a little bit, you do see services. So the pattern for the last 18 months has been, or say the last 12 months anyway, since the worst of the shutdown is over, it's been retail sales like well above trend in the material goods sector and well below trend in the service sector. And why that still holds, it is reversing a little bit, right? The goods sector is coming down towards trend and the service sector is going a little bit back up towards trend. So I'm pretty comfortable with the retail sales numbers.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's in a healthy place and it's not really worth worrying too much about one number in the near term.
If you think about retailers, though, one thing that's interesting, so there's a survey of retailers and their pricing power, how they perceive their pricing power, and that's off the charts. That's the highest ever. The index is sort of an odd index. But I think the thing to know is, say, 2 standard deviations above the mean and at its highest ever. So that's interesting. And I think that comports with people's experience. Retailers are not scared about raising money, raising prices, and then also not scared about sort of giving a crappy service these days.
That's right. Yeah. I wonder on the index that you're referencing, if we've seen any sort of cost push inflation, which is the type of inflation that people tend to be more concerned about, or is this just a general story of how things are going right now post-pandemic?
We've said last time we talked, I thought the inflation story right now is mainly a story of supply constraints, and I continue to think that's true. There's a small business survey, and interestingly, one of the things they do is they ask them, what are you worried about? And the quality of labor is at an extremely high number. Inflation is high relative to the last 10 or 15 years, but not at an all-time high. But the quality of labor, which was a big concern actually before the pandemic in 2018, 2019, is now back to those levels. They're even more concerned about the quality of labor than the price of labor.
That's interesting. It sort of goes against my understanding of a lot of retail jobs, which typically tend to be lower skill jobs. And we've heard certainly of skill mismatches throughout the economy, but that's generally been more focused in service sectors, white collar jobs and manufacturing.
Yeah, I think that is true. And again, I guess my expectation is that this sort of thing will work itself out in the matching process after some sort of bumpy road. There was a little bit of other news came out. Claims were slightly weaker than expected, but still kind of on trend. The housing market is still quite strong, maybe slightly off the boil. So we'll leave it there. And the Astra Economic Week in Review will be back with the next payroll release. And the payroll release is July 2nd. It'll be myself and my partner, Rob. And until then, if you need more economic news, you can check our website, AstraIM. That's AstraInvestmentManagement.com. You can download the Astra Research app from your favorite app store, or get in touch with your Astra representative. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, John.
To learn more about Astra Investment Management's research and strategies, please visit us on the web at www.astraim.com or stay up to date by following us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and our app is also available on the App Store and Google Play. Thank you. Astra Investment Management, LLC, is a SEC-registered investment advisor. All information contained herein is for informational purposes only. This is not a solicitation to offer investment advice or services in any state, where to do so would be unlawful. Analysis and research are provided for informational purposes only, not for trading or investing purposes. All opinions expressed are as of the date of publication and subject to change. They are not intended as investment recommendations.